sheet. We are in our fourth week of a sermon series that we're calling The Call. And in this sermon series, we're going through 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel is written about a time period, about 10th century BC, when the nation of Israel itself was trying to figure out God's call for the nation of Israel. And God, what God did is God spoke into specific people's lives. Hannah, Samuel, later on Saul, King David, spoke into their lives and called them and then used them, or in some cases set them aside, but used that individual people answering God's call to bring the nation forward into God's call. And as we go through this, we're thinking, you know, what's God's call on my life? You know, the one question I get asked as a pastor more than any other, anybody guess what it is? One question I get asked more than any other as a pastor. The number one question is, how can I know what God wants me to do? How can I know God's plan for my life? And sometimes it comes up on a specific issue, like how can I know whether God wants me to take this job or that job? How can I know if God wants me to buy this house or not buy this house? How do I know if God wants me to marry this person? We've been dating for a long time. How can I know? It gets to the specific question of our call. When we say call, we usually mean God's specific plan and purpose for your life and for my life. Now, God has a general plan and purpose, a general call on every one of our lives, that we live righteously, that we believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, that we would love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that we love our neighbors ourselves, that we'd keep His commandments. As a general call in all of our lives, and God's specific call in your life isn't going to contradict God's general call on your life. But beyond that, how do I know if God wants me to live here or live here? How do I know if God wants me to take this job or that job? And for most of us, it doesn't filter down to the little questions like, does God want me to have extra guac on my burrito, right? Which, by the way, the answer is usually no, but occasionally you could, but generally no. Generally no, you should not have extra guac on your burrito. It's not worth $1.75 in the calories. But anyways, to get back, but for a lot of these decisions, they're going to guide our lives. It's going to make a huge difference who you marry or what job you take or where you go to school or what you study. And it's not like if you made a bad choice when you were 25 that God doesn't have a design or a purpose for your life, that God can't use your life today. But how can I know God's specific plan and purpose for my life at these pivotal times in my life, these pivotal directions in my life? And that's what we're talking about when we think about call, is is it possible for me to know what God's purpose is for my life beyond the general purpose of living righteous, holy lives, believing in His Son. And it gets to this idea of hearing from God, right? I don't know if you feel like you've ever heard God's voice, or you've ever experienced God give you a vision. I think for a lot of us in our day and age, that seems like a little bit scary idea, that God would speak to us, that God would talk to us, or God would give us a vision, you know. We live in a day and age where it seems weird to have somebody say, I think God's telling me this. You know, even me, I'm a pastor, and when people come to me and say, I think God's telling me this, I'm like, whoa, you know, it just feels a little bit odd in our day and age. Now, 100 years ago, I don't know if that would have felt as odd. You know, there are certain times, certain periods of time in history when it seems like a lot of people were hearing God's voice, you know? And I think if you were to live 100 years ago and somebody in the North America and someone were to say, I feel like God's calling me to leave the farm and to go be a missionary over there or whatever, people would be like, oh, yeah, that's probably God, you know? Nowadays, if somebody said that, it'd be like, whoa, you know, right? Like if you went into your office tomorrow, just imagine this, you went into an office tomorrow, you work in an office, and there's a committee meeting, and the committee meeting's gathered around, and you say, I don't know, something happened last night, and I really feel like God's calling us to get a new paper vendor, you know? What would the people in your office say? They'd be like, yeah, that's probably God. No, they'd probably say, time for God to take a vacation, you know? What? For me, I mean, I'm a pastor. I can get away with that. But I know most of you guys can't do that. But there's another, you can imagine in your grandparents' generation, people did that, right? Even your grandparents may do that. They may say to you, I'm really feeling like God's calling us to do this. And it's like, oh, okay. What I'm saying is that we live in a day and age where I think hearing God's call is particularly difficult. In Roman number 1, I put, there's a rarity of hearing God's call. And I'm saying that's specific to our day and age. If you lived in a different part of the world today, it's not as rare to hear God's call. If you lived in a different age in this part of the world, it's not as rare to hear God's call. But we live in a day and age where it's rare to hear God's call. It seems like an unusual thing to hear God's call. And the funny thing is, when you read the Scripture, there were times in Scripture when it was rare to hear God's call. There were times in Scripture when God's call was prevalent and God was speaking to a lot of people. And then there were times when people just weren't hearing God's voice. And 10th century B.C., the time period that 1 Samuel was written, was one of those times. It was a time when people didn't hear God's voice. People didn't know God personally. They knew the God of history, right? They knew how God had spoken to Moses and spoke to Moses through the burning bush or revealed his glory to Moses or gave Moses the law. They knew the stories of how God had led the people out of Egypt with a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud by day. They knew the stories. They knew how God had revealed visions to Abraham or to Joseph, you know, and they had all these stories from the Pentateuch, from the Torah. But it had been a long time since anybody had seen a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire or heard any God talking to them. And people that God did talk to, they thought were nuts, you know. So they were living in this time period. And you can see that. Look at 1 Samuel 3:1. It says, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. Eli was the high priest. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. Now, we can relate to that because we live in a day and age when the word of the Lord is rare. We've got the written word of the Lord. They did too. They didn't have the whole Bible. They had the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books. But beyond that, this personal connection with God, this personal experience, people just weren't having it. It had been hundreds of years. They know Moses had a personal connection with God. They knew Abraham had a personal connection with God. They knew Joseph saw dreams. Jacob saw dreams. You know, they knew that God had been around in the past, but that was a long time ago. And it had been hundreds of years since God was speaking to people like this. And even the people began to not even really know God. Besides just hearing his voice, it says Eli's sons who were in line to be the high priest, it says in chapter 2, that they didn't know the Lord. And even in a few verses, in verse 7 of chapter 3, it says Samuel didn't know the Lord. Samuel was a special kid that God had taken his mom, who was barren, and given her a son, and she had dedicated this son to the Lord, and she brought him to the tabernacle, the high place, the holy place on Shiloh, and she'd given him to the high priest to raise him. He had God's hand and God's calling and God's anointing all over his life. He didn't know the Lord. The people he was raised with didn't know the Lord. They didn't know the Lord personally. They knew about God. They knew a lot about God, but they didn't know God personally. In that type of an age, and we live in that type of an age, most of us, in that type of an age, it's rare to hear God's call. And so most of us go through our lives just trying to figure out, well, what's the right thing to do? What's the best thing to do? I mean, I know God wants me to love God, love my neighbor, and so does that mean, you know, buying the 3-bedroom house or buying the 2-bedroom condo? You know, it's like, okay, which can I love God better in? And so we're trying to figure this thing out, but it's not like God specifically says, I want you in this neighborhood because I want you to reach these people. I want you to be around these folks. I've got a call for you here, you know. And so we're trying to serve God. We're trying to figure it out, you know. But the word of God's rare and visions are infrequent. You see in Roman number 2, in these types of periods of time, it's difficult to hear God's call. It's particularly difficult. Now, I think God's still speaking. God's still calling. But in these ages, we have trained ourselves, or society has trained us, not to have spiritual ears. And maybe there's just too much noise, too much other noise in our world, but we've developed a certain deafness to the voice of God, an inability to hear the voice of God. And you can see that in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 2 through 7. It says there, it happened that at that time, as Eli was lying down in his place, now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was laying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. So it says temple, but that's like a later redaction. The temple hadn't been built yet. They were in the tabernacle, the holy tent, the sanctuary of God that God had Moses and Aaron build. It was sitting on top of the mountain of Shiloh. They had the Ark of the Covenant in there. And Samuel, this young boy, he's in there. He's sleeping in the sanctuary, in the holy place. And Samuel's in another room. Eli's in another room. It says the lamp hadn't gone out yet. This is the golden lampstand that sits next to the altar in the tabernacle. It burns all night long, and then it has to be replaced with oil, but it's still going. So it's commentators say it was probably early in the morning, but still dark. And Samuel gets this word of the Lord. The Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And then Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said to him, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down, and the Lord, Yahweh, called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel, here it is, did not yet know the Lord. He didn't know how to hear God's voice. So God is calling him, God is speaking to him, but he hadn't developed that spiritual discernment to hear God's voice, to see God's visions. Nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. I think a lot of us live like that, that God's calling to us, and God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and we hear stuff, but just the way that we live, the way our minds work, we attribute it to someone else, something else. We miss what God's trying to say. And so that's what Sam is doing. He's going into Eli. He's like, "Yeah, what you call me? Well, what do you want?" Eli's like, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Happened two times. You'll see in a minute it happened three times. We like they, 3,000 years ago, lived in a time when God's call was rare and God's visions were infrequent. You ever miss an important call? I know most of you people under 30 probably don't ever answer the phone. Doesn't seem like you do. But at least my kids don't. But you ever miss an important call? Does that still happen to people? Well, in my day, missing important calls. Even today, you know, back in the day when I was a kid, the phone rang and you had to go and answer it, you know, because when I was a kid, you didn't even have an answering machine. You remember those days? Who remembers that? Who will admit they're old enough to remember those days? The phone rang, and like everyone in his house was like, I got it, because you didn't want your sister to get it and be like, you know. So everybody races to the phone. By the time I was old enough to answer the phone, I think we had three phones in the house. So everyone kind of picks it up simultaneously. "Hello, hello, hello, hello." And they're like, "Okay, I'm just looking for this one person." But even nowadays, I miss calls. I've got probably 3,000 contacts in my phone. So when my phone rings and it doesn't come up as somebody I know, I've learned that 90% of the time it's a robocall or somebody selling something. And so I stopped answering my phone most of the time if the number comes up and it's not somebody I know. Maybe you've experienced that from me. But I'll put your number in, and then I'll know in my contact list, I'll know it's you. But if it's somebody else. And then occasionally, somebody calls and I don't have their number in, but it's a call I want, you know? Like, I dropped my car off at the mechanic shop, and I'm waiting for this guy to call me, you know? He never calls me. And a phone rang, and I just dismissed it because. And then later on, I realized that was the mechanic, you know? I don't have him in my contact. Or he's calling from a different line. He's not calling from the line I'm used to having. And I'm like, man, I missed it. One of the things about the day we live in is that we just get so many calls. We get inundated with so many different, not just actual calls, but so many different callings on our lives, so many different appeals to our will, to our life, that we end up, I think, sometimes dismissing what could be God. And the reason is, you know, we don't have God programmed God's number programmed in our mind. Just like Samuel. Samuel, it says that he didn't know the Lord. He knew a lot about the Lord. He could tell you all kinds of stuff about the Lord. His mom was a holy person that prayed, and he's living in the temple. He's always around God's stuff. He knew a lot of stuff about the Lord, but he didn't know the Lord. So when the Lord called him, he missed the call. That happens to a lot of us. Well, in Roman number 3, we'll see how we respond to God's call, verse 8 through 14. This is responding to God's call, number 3. So the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." So it's the same thing again. God says, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel's like, "Yeah, Eli, what do you want?" And this time Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And it shall be if he calls, if God calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. We're told that God was standing right there as other times. You know, like every other time all night long, God was right there talking to him. And God said, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a new thing in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli and all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Now that sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? But what God's saying is, years ago, when the people were in Sinai, I chose Eli's family to be the chief intercessors, the high priest, between the people and God, the people for that God the people would go through to bring them into God's presence, that they would offer their sacrifices through. And yet Eli's sons are such wicked people, and they don't listen to God, that God says, I've moved aside that covenant, and now I'm calling Samuel. And Eli says, God says, no sacrifice, no offerings ever going to fix this. It's not, now that doesn't mean that they can't ever be forgiven or reconciled to God, but that they can't reinstate this covenant, that God is moving away from this plan and moving to a new plan with somebody that he can call. But you see, Samuel's response that got him to understand God's call in his life, you can see, I underline in verse 10, "Speak, for your servant is listening." That's something we ought to know. That's worth remembering. Say it with me, if you will. "Speak, for your servant is listening." One more time. "Speak, for your servant is listening." That's the invitation to God to say, "God, I want your call." When we feel God begin to touch our heart, when we're in that place of indecision in life, when we're like, "I don't know, is that from God or that not from God? I don't know if I should take that job or this job. I don't know if I should go to that school." When we're in that moment where God may be talking to us, we're in that transition time in our lives, or God's doing something, that's the response. "Speak, your servant is listening. I'm here. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to follow your call. I trust you. I want to be where you want me. I want your fruit in my life. I want to live out what you..." The fact is, it can be scary to say that to God, right? It can be scary to say, "I'm your servant. Do with me what you will and whatever you want." But the fact is that you're going to follow some call in your life. You're going to follow a call that's driven in your own selfish desires, or you're going to follow your boss's call in your life, or your neighbor's call in your life, or your parents' call in your life, or society's call in your life. You're going to do something in life. You're going to follow some path in life. What better than the call of the one who created you, who loves you, has a plan for your life, who knows the gifts that he's put in you, who knows how to bear fruit through your life? What better call than the call of God? We live in an age where we feel autonomous, and it's very hard to give up autonomy. It's very hard to give up that sense that we're in control. But there's no better place, no safer place than when God's in control of our lives. And you can see that in the results in Roman number 4, the results of listening to God in verses 19 through 21. It says, "Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. All Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord." You can see three things that happened in Samuel's life because he followed God's call. These are three things that happened in his life. I think these are given to us as an example of what we can expect in our lives when we follow God's call. Number one, success. You see in verse 19, Samuel grew. He had physical success. His stature grew. He had the Lord with him, had some spiritual success. And number three, none of his words failed. He had vocational success. He was a prophet, right? One of the most famous prophets in Israel. And God spoke to him through Israel. He had success. Number two, his call was confirmed by others. You see that in verse 20. All the people from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was confirmed as the prophet of the Lord. Everybody said, yeah, that's genuine. You know, when you get God's call, it's worth testing it out. It's worth checking out. It's worth sharing with your small group leader or your pastor or your friend or your spouse or somebody who's a prayer partner, saying, hey, I feel like God's calling me to go to seminary. I feel like God's calling me to take this new position at work. I feel like God's calling me to lead a small group. And see what they say. Say, you know, I feel the same way. Or let me pray about it and see what I hear. It's good to get the confirmation of others. Because the truth is, there have been times in my life when I thought God was calling me to do stuff that God absolutely was not calling me to do. So it's good to get the confirmation of others. And then number three, that God reveals himself through Samuel. You see that in verse 21. The Lord appeared again at Shiloh. That's where the tabernacle is, the sanctuary of the Lord. Because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So it wasn't like this was a one-time off. All of a sudden, because Samuel responded to God's call, now God's showing up more often. Now God's speaking through Samuel day by day, month by month. God's telling Samuel, I want you to anoint this person king. I want you to go here. I want you to oppose this person. I want you to do this. God's working through, and the rest of the book of 1 Samuel is like this. God's working through Samuel, speaking through Samuel, because Samuel has learned how to hear the voice of the Lord. He knows God now. Again, he already knew about God. It's not like he wasn't a believer. He was a believer. He believed in God. He believed in God's salvation and redemption that was experienced through Moses and in the Old Covenant. But now he knows God personally. He's heard God's voice. That's what responding to God's call is all about. In order to get there, we've got to learn how to develop that spiritual listening ear, that ability to hear what God's saying, the ability to see visions. Now, it's not like we're just trying to develop within us some existential, transcendent experience. No, it's not coming from within us. It's coming from the fact that God cares about this world. God cares about your life. God's trying to speak into our lives. But we live in an age where we've not developed the ability to hear God. We live in an age where we think, I mean, I'm a pastor and I myself am skeptical when somebody says, oh, I heard this from God. It's like, whoa, you know, because we live in an age where we say, God doesn't do that. God doesn't show up. God doesn't give people visions. God doesn't speak to people. Through his Bible, through the Bible, yeah, but no, God doesn't. No, God does. And I know, I've heard people on television or on the internet say some whacked out things in Jesus' name, or God did it, or I've had people tell me, I think God wants you to do this, and I'm like, God's going to have to tell me himself because I don't trust you. You know, we've all been manipulated by people who say this is from God or that's from God. It has to be confirmed by other people. It has to be in line with God's general call in our life. But I was at our United Methodist General annual conference last night. I heard a preacher say, you know, that just because you bought a car and you got ripped off by one salesman 20 years ago doesn't mean you've stopped driving cars, you know. Just because you've had one bad experience where somebody does something wrong to you doesn't mean that you've stopped that. And so just because people misuse this God told me stuff doesn't mean that God doesn't talk to people. But we live in an age where we've thrown out everything about an experiential personal relationship with God because we've seen it abused. Or because we live in an age where a lot of people, most everybody that we know, doesn't know God. I mean, and the thing is, this is not a new thing. This was 10th century BC. They were in a very religious culture. People came and sacrificed all the time. People offered things to God. People tithed. People did very religious stuff. But people didn't know God. People had not experienced God personally. And it took Samuel and thankfully Eli saying, well, just say, speak, for your servant is listening, to begin to open him up. So the point of all this is, to know God's call, we have to learn to listen. We have to learn to develop a spiritual ear, develop a spiritual listening ear, learn what that's like. Now, especially for folks that are in transitions in their life, folks that are moving or graduating, or folks that are getting ready to have a child, or folks that are making decisions, there's critical times in our lives, and then there's other times that God's just speaking, but critical times in our lives that we need to develop that ability. Some years ago, I gave out like a discernment model to help people discern decisions. If you ever want that, just email me and I'll send you a copy of that. But more than anything, it's just developing that sense that God talks, that God communicates with God's people, that God has a plan for our life, that God, and looking for that. Because otherwise, we're always going to be running into Eli and going, what do you want? And he's like, I don't want anything. We're always going to be running into our boss saying, I don't know. I don't feel exactly right in this job. I feel like there might be something more to me and more for me. And he's like, well, no, you're doing great. Just keep doing it. Or we're always going to be going to our spouse and saying, oh, I feel like, I just don't feel like it's right. I don't feel like I'm in the right. And they're like, no, everything's fine. We're always going to be, you know, feeling out the people around us when it's God putting it on us. You know that experience? And you're always like, it's not right, something's not right, there's something more. No, everyone's like, no, just keep doing what you're doing, it's fine. God may be saying, I've got something more for you. And what we need to learn how to say is speak, for your servant is listening. Well, I want to take a moment and just give you a chance to ask God to speak right now. And so I asked Margaret and Karen if they'll come, and maybe we just take a moment and just get in a place of prayer where you can kind of open up your spiritual ears, whatever that is, to bow or to kneel or to just get in a posture where you can hear from God and just open yourself up and say, God, what do you have for me? For some of us, this is weird. You know, it's for some of us, we haven't ever really heard the voice of God. We haven't really ever seen a vision from God. We don't know what that's like to experience God personally. Maybe we've heard other people talk about it, or maybe we read books of our grandparents or sung hymns of somebody at some point, but it's something new to us. We don't. And so in this quiet space, just see if you can develop that, what Samuel is learning, of saying, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. If that's what you want, if you want God's will in your life, if you want God's call in your life, learning how to say, speak, I'm here, I'm listening. I want what you have for me more than anything else. I've got my own plans. I know my spouse has plans for my life, my parents have plans for my life, my boss has plans, but I want to hear your plan, Lord. I want to know what your call is. I want to hear what you have to say. Some of us are facing big issues right now where we can do it our way or we can do it another way. Some of us, this is just coming out of the blue, but learning how to say speak, speak for your servant is listening. we think of examples of people hearing God's call, there's no better example than Jesus. Jesus heard God's call. I mean, his whole life, his whole ministry was leading up to the cross. And when you read the Gospels, you see he's headed to Jerusalem, he's headed to the cross. They don't understand, but he's going to die for their sins. And you know, even the night that he gave himself up, he cried out to God, God, if it's your will, you know, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, your will be done. He was a person that lived in the midst of God's call all his life. And so when he gathered his disciples together and he took bread and he gave thanks to God and he broke it, he offered his disciples, he said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. He was living into God's plan and purpose for his life. A perfect plan and purpose for the perfect person to bring redemption to all of us. He took the cup and again he gave thanks to God. He offered his disciples to drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. He told his disciples, as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you remember my coming until I come again in final victory. And so when we share in this meal, we're sharing in what he's done for us and in his plan, and we're, you know, in a sense receiving that plan for ourselves, that general plan of joining in his redemption, of entering into new life, of having him forgive and restore our lives. But as we do, we're reminded that God's got a specific plan for your life too. God wants to do something through you, that just like God sent Jesus to a family that was from Nazareth, that was giving birth in Bethlehem. God's got a specific plan for you to enter into a specific part of God's world, to do a specific part of God's work. And knowing that just empowers our ministry. It empowers our lives. It gives our lives meaning and purpose. And so as we share and live into this covenant that God's created for us, it's appropriate that we think about what is God's specific calling for me. Let's pray that might be so. Lord God, pour your Holy Spirit on this bread, on this cup, as we share in them. Lord, may we receive you and your power and your grace into our lives and allow you to speak into our lives. We're your servants. That's why we're here. We're here to worship you. We're here to serve you. And so we pray, Lord, that you'd speak into our lives your specific plan and purpose for our lives. Not so that we would be what this is all about, but so that we could be part of your redemptive work in this world. That, Lord, you are making us one with you and one with each other and one in ministry of the whole world, that this world may know the kingdom of God, the good news of the gospel, the healing, the restoration, the new life that you offer through the power of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in his name we pray.